Hildy Morgan is a writer from Wyoming County who has been facilitator of the writers' group at the Dietrich Theater in Tunkhannock, where she is a board member, former executive director, and a founder of the Wyoming County Cultural Center. From time to time, Hildy shares her essays with us, and she has a story for us today, Memorial Day 2017.
The dog who loved the sunset. His name was Billy Jack, the rough-coated black and white Jack Russell Terrier my husband rescued from the Humane Society in a way that could, if you were so inclined, cause you to become a believer in fate. He had taken a beloved golden retriever to the Humane Society for cremation, since the money goes to them, and we are big believers in their mission. He carried her precious body, shrouded in a sheet, in the door. They were waiting for him, and his eyes filled with tears as he handed her lifeless form to the attendants. The next part of this story is obvious. The workers at the shelter knew they had, in Pulp Fiction parlance, a live one on the line, a born sucker, and knowing that, they did exactly what any animal lover would have done. "We have a dog who needs a home very badly," the director said. "He's not for everybody." My husband shook his head. "We have two dogs at home," he said, "and it's too soon." "Not for him," she said, her tone just hinting at the ominous lack of future this dog was facing. "He's a Jack Russell, weighs 10 pounds, hardly eats a thing. He won't be any bother." She looked at one of the volunteers. "Bring the little Jack out here," she said, "quickly." And suddenly, all 10 pounds of terrier was facing my husband. The wee dog shook. My husband looked at him. "I'm more of a big dog kind of guy," my husband said. "I'm sorry," he said to the shaking bit of fur. "Sorry for your troubles, but I can't. I just can't." And he left. He traveled at least 5 miles down the road, did a U-turn, and came back. They hadn't even put the dog back in his cage. My husband was that obvious. "I brought you a present," he said as he walked in the door. A sad man had left the house a few hours before. Now there was a lightness to his voice, a certain cheer. I walked into the kitchen. "He needed a home," the husband said defensively, pointing to a small firm mat in his arms. "I thought I'd give it a try." "Right." I looked at the fur creature. I reached out my hand to give him a reassuring pat. Suddenly he was all teeth and fury. I withdrew my hand. My husband ignored what had happened. "Little guy needs a name," he said. "How about Godzilla?" I said. He pretended not to have heard me. "I'm thinking something that makes reference to his breed, but also is kind of personal, too." "What did you have in mind?" I said, knowing that he had already named Fang there. "Well, you know those Billy Jack movies? They're about someone who has taken a lot of bad stuff in his life, and then he doesn't take it anymore." "Not actually," I said. "I've never felt the urge to see one." He shook his head in despair at my lack of cultural savvy. "The hero is Billy Jack, and since he's a Jack and a little on the feisty side..." "Feisty? Really? I thought we could call him Billy Jack." I looked at the dog. He looked back at me, and his lips quivered and raised slowly over his front teeth. "Did this Billy Jack fellow kill people at random?" I asked, staring at the beady little eyes that locked into mine. "Only if they deserved it," my husband laughed. "He just has to get used to you. He's had a rough time, broken ribs and a hip that goes in and out. They figure he was kicked a couple of times. Hard." "Oh, my," I said, looking at him through different eyes. "I'm sorry some beast did that to you, Billy Jack. It will never happen to you here." After a few months, I could pick him up, and if my husband wasn't around, he would let me pet him. His disposition never did improve much. When he went out in public, my husband would have to warn folks not to pet the adorable little Raggedy Andy. "He's not as cuddly as he looks," he'd say. He'd been with us about 5 years when he suddenly became violently ill. The vet tried everything. Nothing worked. The 3 pounds he'd put on in the past years melted away. He couldn't hold anything on his stomach. "The only hope I can see," the vet said, "is to take him to Cornell." After many tests, they said that he either had pancreatitis, which he might be able to recover from, or cancer of the pancreas, which he wouldn't. He still hadn't eaten, so their only choice was to operate the next morning. I cried all the way home. My husband set the alarm for 3 a.m. It takes about 2 hours for us to get to Cornell. I had to go to work, but he said he needed to get there before 6, when Billy was scheduled to go into surgery. I'm not going to let that little fella die without him knowing how much I love him. He knows, I said. Believe me, he knows. 3 hours later, I got a phone call. I saw that it was my husband's cell. I picked it up, filled with dread. Hey, I said, you're not going to believe this. My husband's voice came across the miles full of astonishment and joy. When I went inside, the doctor met me at the door with Billy Jack by his side. He made rounds with Doc this morning. He took some food in the night, and they've been giving him IV fluids. The doc said he's terrific at rounds, very important. So I'm going to spend the day with him, and if he continues to hold his food, we can come up tomorrow and bring him home. He'll be on a special diet, but they think he'll be fine. And he was. For the next 3 years, Billy was his usual spunky, awful, funny self, loving my husband and barely tolerating everyone else. But he made us laugh. He was so full of life. And then one winter morning, he woke up and walked into the wall. He backed up and shook his head and stood there. He moved tentatively toward the door, but stopped after a few steps, obviously confused. Billy Jack! I could hear the panic in my husband's voice. The dog stood very still, then slowly moved his head in the direction of the sound. I picked him up and held him toward the light. The eyes never blinked. I think he's lost his vision, I said. But how could that be? I'll call Cornell, he said. They took him right away. Within half an hour, we knew. He had become diabetic over the course of time, probably due to the malfunction of the pancreas in his rough early years. It had hit hard. They showed us how to give him insulin twice a day. They said he would compensate just fine for the loss of his sight. I put his head close to mine. You're going to be okay, Billy, I said. His lip quivered and he growled softly. Good to see you're the same little guy we've loved so long, I laughed, and I tousled the hair on the back of his neck. When we got home, he chased the cat off his bed, looked for his favorite ball, and had a long drink of water before he bounced over to my husband and whined to be picked up. He needed a nap and wanted my husband to hold him. We looked at each other in disbelief. It had taken him less than 5 hours to adjust to having no vision. He had learned early in life that things could be tough, and he had no complaints. Three hots in a cot, my husband laughed. That's all he cares about. And unending love and cuddling, I added as I picked him up and handed him over. He resumed his life as if nothing had changed. He was the same Billy Jack, rebel without a cause. Folks who didn't know would never have guessed he couldn't see. About a year into his blindness, my husband bought a Kawasaki Mule, a utility terrain vehicle, wonderful for getting around craggy fields and dirt roads if you can't, for a variety of reasons, walk around them. My husband had been severely wounded in Vietnam in the mid-1960s when he tripped a landmine. After a year in the hospital, he had to adjust to life with one leg and shrapnel throughout his body. Like Billy Jack, his pain from old wounds was continuous. When we first met, he had walked with me. He chopped wood for my sister's fireplace. He was strong and powerful. But as the years added wear and tear to a badly injured body, he could no longer keep up. Walking the fields, even the dirt roads, became difficult at first and then impossible. We knew that a vehicle that could go where we always walked would be a perfect solution, and I benefited from once again having a walking companion. My husband would pick Billy up, cuddle him into his side, and off they would go, with Billy standing straight and tall, the wind blowing in his face, and seeming to see the sights as they rolled by. Of course, it was the scents he was acknowledging, not the sights, but it didn't matter. He loved going out and seeing the world. And one thing he loved the most of all, Billy Jack and his human companion would drive up to the top of the hill. The fields spread out before them, the encircling mountains blue in the distance, and they would watch the sunset. Whether Billy could feel the warmth of the rays on his face, or whether there was some small vestige of sight left, or maybe it was that he was alone with the person he loved most in the world, the person who had saved him and loved him without reservations, who would carry him to heaven if he could, we'll never know. Because some things are too mysterious to know. And that's okay. Billy Jack lasted 5 years to the day of what the doctors had told us. For most of them, he was his happy, aggressive, nutjob self. But the last year, he began to wind down. He slept more. He wasn't quite as crabby. And then the last month, he was confused, seeming to no longer understand his place in the world. But this I knew, that when Billy and his dad went to see the sunset, that it was somehow, in some way, a fusing of the natural world to the world of the heart and the mind. And he and his dad were one in those moments of grace. They watched the sky blaze pink, these two wounded warriors, leaning into each other, saved by love. And then one night, it was the last sunset Billy Jack and his dad would ever see together in this world. When he left, when his spirit crossed into whatever awaits us, his big marine of a dad sobbed and cursed the heavens. Death is cruel to those who love. It is the great unfathomable parting, and we never get over it. But we remember. We will remember until our last sunset, the little dog who could not be broken by cruelty and thuggery, who was sassy and smart, and who fiercely loved. There's a belief among some that the streets of heaven are guarded by the United States Marines. If that is so, then Billy Jack is waiting outside those pearly gates for his dad to start his tour of duty. And Billy will be with him this time. Both their bodies will be whole again, and they will stand proudly together, one big Marine and one very small one. And I want to believe that until that day happens, Billy Jack will be watching the sun set from the other side of the stars.
Writer Hildy Morgan from Wyoming County with the dog who loved the sunsets. Hildy has been facilitator of the writers' group at the Dietrich Theater in Tunkhannock. The group is for ages 18 and up and meets Thursday evenings at 7, and there is no charge. For more information on the web, dietrichtheater.com, dietrichtheater.com. And on Memorial Day 2017, we remind you about the Warrior Writers Group that also meets at the Dietrich Theater. It's Fridays at the Dietrich Theater once a month, and the next sessions for Warrior Writers, Friday, June 9th, then Friday, July 14th, and again August 11th at 7 o'clock each of those evenings. Again, there is no cost, it's free. The Warrior Writers Workshops support artistic exploration and expression and provide a safe space to share experiences in the military culture, open to all veterans and service members. For more information on the web, dietrichtheater.com, dietrichtheater.com.